Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to pass, delayed blitz coming. Allen looking deep down the left sideline for Coleman, trying to come back to the football, and he's nailed. Defenseless receiver, and the flag flies. Jordan Poyer is going to get called for hitting a defenseless receiver helmet to helmet. It's a huge penalty.
Chris Brown on the call there. It was a game-changing penalty. It ultimately did help put Buffalo in position to kick that 61-yard game-winning field goal. But now, because of that hit, it has got a lot of Bills fans holding their breath a little bit on the health of Keon Coleman. Hope to learn more tomorrow. Bills are off today, although they'll likely get more information today. But with how lock and key they keep a lot of their secrets, I can't imagine we'll get a report or what have you on Coleman's health. But we will see. Talking NFL trade deadline today, as the deadline is later on this afternoon. We've already got three trades for today. The Bills got active a few weeks ago. A number of teams have as well to add wide receivers. And let's now get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to the phones. Adam is on the line. Adam, how are we doing on this fine day?
Not too bad, guys. Hope you're enjoying the weather today at some point in time.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, maybe go to the driving range, knock around nine, something like that.
Oh, man. Well, now I might have to.
Just in terms of the trade deadline here, I'm going into this very cautiously because, you know, you kind of look at the Bills' history of acquiring offensive players during the season, and Nyheim Hines comes to mind with this one. You know, I remember when we got him, you know, we just kept on waiting for him to be used as a weapon, and it never came. And I feel like McDermott has a very staunch history of, you know, being very defensive of the guys that are quote unquote already here. You know, it's like we get Cooper and it's like, you know, he's asked about Cooper and it's like, okay, you know, he's a good player, but let's not forget about the guys that we already have here. Well, it's like if the guys that were already here were producing and doing what was needed to be done, you wouldn't have had to go out and get Cooper. So I go to this trade deadline, you know, really hesitant on being excited about any type of receiver help, any tight end help, you know, even anything on the offensive line if they're looking for depth pieces. You know, and I see us more or less looking to add in the defensive backfield because, you know, again, you kind of look at revisionist history. Think of Rasul Douglas. You know, he came in and he's able to adapt right away. And why? Because I think that's McDermott's strength. So just any defensive backs out there that you guys think would be a good target for us, I'd be interested in to hear what you guys have. And also I wanted to just address the slow starts, man. It's repetitive. It is consistent. And I can't for the life of me understand why we come out every single game so flat. It's run, pass, and punt. And if I'm another defensive coordinator out there, you know, it's not hard to predict what we're looking to do. And I don't understand why we can't just open up a game, you know, just play action. I don't care who it is. Mac Hollins, run down the field as fast as you can. Josh is going to launch it as far as he possibly can. And maybe that'll get the opposing team to back up a little bit, and that'll help open up the offense. If you look at the passing chart for Josh Allen this past week, I don't think he had one throw, one attempt of over 20 yards. And I understand, you know, we don't have the explosiveness anymore that we're looking for in terms of the long playability. And they're all about, you know, run after catch and give these guys an opportunity to get the ball as quickly as they can and get the run after catch going. Just in terms of that, just would like to hear your guys' opinion about what we can do to maybe start off a little bit faster. So I'll hang up and listen and go enjoy the day.
Adam, man, thanks for the call. And brother, you're speaking a lot of my language there with the slow starts. It's taken years off my life. And you know what, though? A lot of it, what's frustrating is exactly that. It seems like, you know, going in, they're going to run a first down, they're going to run second down, and then they're going to force a pass on third down. Because they've had difficulties getting open when you're all of a sudden third and seven, third and eight, and trying to throw the ball, it's difficult, even with Josh Allen at quarterback. The Mac Collins thing, though, I don't think it was the first drive. He did throw to him deep against Houston.
Yeah.
And it just didn't go anywhere. I think a lot of it, though, too, is I wonder if the Bills are a team that just is I personally think to their own detriment, but in a way I can understand where this works. They're letting the game kind of tell the story early rather than kind of aggressively getting down, you know, pen to paper, and they're going to write the story. Mm. They're kind of letting the other team sort of dictate what kind of game are you going to get out of us.
Which, if you think about it, it kind of plays into the way they are as a team, because they always, we've talked about it, they always adjust well in the second half. If they just let the other team show them what they're going to want to do the whole game, that's how you can easily adjust in the second half. But at the same time, you can't do that against every team.
No, because you can do that against the bad ones. You did it against Baltimore. And it was it was basically a blowout. Yeah, you had a moment.
You kind of did it against Houston, too.
Yeah, you kind of were bad the whole game against Houston.
Well,
your defense got much better in the second half,
yes.
But you could argue that was Nico Collins going on or what have
right,
you.
Right. But overall, though, it does work in some scenarios, but mm-hmm. when you're playing the better teams, it usually doesn't work. When you're playing the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities, the Detroit, mm-hmm. like that's not going to work. And
I mean, you do anything wrong against Detroit, they're going to kill you.
Yeah. You do everything perfect against Detroit and they might kill you. Like,
they got the mandate of heaven. The amount of like pick sixes, kick return touchdowns, lack of yards,
right.
but blowing teams out.
Right.
I'm telling you, mandate of heaven right there.
Culler did bring up there, though.
I thought it was Pittsburgh. It's not. It's Detroit.
Going for a defensive back of some kind, somebody in the secondary. I'm not necessarily looking at cornerbacks, but also
safety. Safety is the one I definitely think about. I will say, though, on the one point in terms of McDermott kind of always defending his guys, I get it. I don't think McDermott means anything by it of like he doesn't trust the new guys coming in. I mean, Rasul Douglas has been open about the fact. I mean, he went in mainly due to injuries.
Right.
And he's been open about the fact that it was sort of the veterans dictating him where he's going to go and
right.
telling him, hey, just jump the pass if you got a shot.
So,
and that helped him great, but like he's been open about the fact that like this was when he was actually learning the Bills playbook, not when he got traded for, and even the Bills were open about loving that they got Cooper in now because he could learn the playbook, and as the season went on, he could be effective. In terms of him defending his guys, look, I think it's him being, funny enough, it's election day, he's being a politician. The guys know it's an indictment enough that they're going to trade for a wide receiver. There's no reason then to go to the media and go, yeah, we are not getting open enough. These guys are rough.
Right.
It's an
right.
indictment enough that we do have to go add somebody because I am not getting open enough, or I'm not catching the ball, or what have you. It's enough. There's no reason to then go out and bash him again. It's kind of like Chicago with that cornerback where, you know, he came out, he publicly apologized.
Tyree Stevenson. Yeah.
The team came after him, and then what do they do? Well, now we're going to demote you in practice and stuff like that. And they kept piling on.
Right.
And this is the thing, too, and I've taken some calls and I've heard and even taken them on the station as well. Of just this is not a league where you learn life lessons. Mm-hmm. These guys are many of them into their mid-20s going into their 30s. So whenever I hear, you know, just for the quarterback, Allen throws three interceptions, bench him so he learns his lesson. Okay, cool. He's never playing for you again. Like, you can't treat them like children. It would
right.
be like that if McDermott went out, these guys just aren't getting open, it's bashing them
there's times
left,
you
right,
can
and
do
center.
That. There's times you can do that with rookies, and we've seen that happen.
Sure.
I mean, look at James Cook in his first game. He had a fumble on his first touch and didn't play for the rest of the game.
Sure, but you think Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, even Khalil Shakir are going to take it well when
no.
all of a sudden. Yeah,
no.
exactly.
And there's levels to that. Like, you could certainly discipline players, but you can't just discipline them by benching them and by berating them in
yeah.
the media and things like that. But back to the point about, you know, trading for someone in the secondary. A name that was, if I remember correctly, linked to the Bills in free agency this past offseason, who ended up signing back with his team on a one-year deal. A young safety.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Blackmon, Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
He's on a... Whenever I look at trades, I always look at guys on the end of their deals. Because that's usually the only players that are ever traded in the NFL. And I'm looking at age too, because Julian Blackman's only 26. He's on the end of a one-year deal. The Colts didn't commit to him long term, not really sure why, but at the same time, the Colts are kind of in a weird spot right now. That's also where you could get this. Is the Colts are in a weird spot right now, you could probably offer them some draft capital, and to be fair, he would be probably a pretty tough get, I think, because
mm-hmm.
he is one of the better safeties in the league at the moment in terms of on the rise as a younger player. But I mean, just last year he had 4 interceptions.
Yep.
Which is, that's pretty good. And
I say do it just for the intel this weekend.
No.
There we go.
So what do you guys run in defense? Okay, cool. See ya. We're cutting you.
Cut him. Make
no,
a statement.
I don't know. What do you think? I think that he's a player that they've had issues with the secondary. They've had issues with safety mainly.
Yeah. I'll give you my thought after this next call, Mark, because I think Mark wants to talk about another safety. Mark, you're on the line. How are we doing today, man?
Hey, guys. Happy Election Day. Mm-hmm. The whole Jordan Poyer thing kind of fired me up about the safety position. And to that caller's point of who do we think, I think a guy like Buda Baker would fit in perfect here. And I thought Jordan Poyer looked slow. Ever since the Bengals playoff game, I thought he looked just slow, like he lost a step. And I thought, you know, it was an illegal hit, and I don't like anybody defending him. I have no love lost for these dudes that leave the team. I don't know if I'm just fired up today, but Buda Baker would be my answer. And I love the idea of getting bigger and better on the interior. I don't think you're getting enough out of Von Miller and Ed Oliver to where, you know, they could affect Mahomes or get after Lamar. But I'm going to have to listen to you guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, happy Election Day as well. And watching Tampa Bay's defensive line, namely Vita Vea, it's so good. But the Bills are kind of getting got by what was sort of a modern run for NFL defenses, which is getting smaller and faster. And that includes on the defensive line. And now you're having some teams that are of course, you know, attacking that, getting bigger. It's gonna be kind of an ebb and flow to it.
Yeah.
Safety, though, I will tell you, number one, Buda Baker, I think you're going to have a near impossible chance to get him for the sheer fact of Arizona's good.
Yeah, if Arizona was bad, he'd be
if Arizona had
totally
two wins,
yeah,
he's 100% on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They right now are in the lead of the NFC West. I personally, I think Buda Baker is literally off the table.
Yeah.
And I think Arizona's even made a trade to grab somebody. So like they are maybe even slight buyers, but they're definitely not sellers and certainly not maybe their best player on defense, arguably one of the faces of their franchise.
They're a conservative buyer.
Yeah. I think he'd be a wonderful addition to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they were a bad team, I think it would also take like a second, maybe a first-round pick to get him.
Not to mention the fact of salary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he makes too much money for the Bills cap right now. That's also why I was looking at a guy like Julian Blackman.
Yeah,
because he only makes 3.7 this year. Again, it's a one-year deal, so you would have to sign him at the end of the year, mm-hmm, but he's young enough where I think it'd be worth it to give him that cap space you're about to receive, because the Bills are going to have a lot of cap space this offseason.
I also wonder,
and they were also,
you wonder too, if they want to add him just because, you know, the Mike Edwards experiment didn't work.
Yeah, and they were also linked to him, mm-hmm, last offseason. Mm-hmm. I remember I was really excited for the Bills to potentially go after him because, again, he is a good young player. He has four interceptions last year. He's got one this year. He has a sack this year. Like, he has been good.
Yeah.
But the problem is the Colts aren't, they're not great, but they're not bad either because the AFC South is terrible.
I was going to say, yeah, they're 4-5. I'd be very surprised if they traded anybody either or sellers because, look, they ultimately made the move to Joe Flacco because they think they can make the playoffs now. That's why they're benching Anthony Richardson.
Right.
I think it's an amalgamation of a few things, but I think that's a major one of them thinking, no, we can make it now. Let's not wait. I think it's a terrible decision. But
right.
Again, I think it's also a mixture of a lot.
But because of the fact that the AFC South is terrible, maybe they can, aside from Houston, maybe they can squeak into a wild card spot by winning their other divisional games. But at the same time,
I think it's fool's hope. But
yeah, exactly. But that's why if you're the Bills, if you go out and offer them your extra second,
mm-hmm,
because even if they were bad, I think that's what would take to get a guy like Blackman.
I have no appetite giving up more than a day three pick,
mm-hmm,
because you're seeing these other trades going around. It's all day three picks.
Right, but to be fair, they're day three players.
Well, they don't necessarily have to be. I mean, you're getting a half-year rental for most of these guys.
Yes, but they're day three rentals. If Blackman was a rental player for the Bills, if the Bills couldn't sign him next offseason and they traded for him, he'd be a rental player but an expensive one.
Yeah, he would be. For me, though, you just spent a second-round pick on Cole Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taylor Rapp is himself also a young safety.
I forgot about Cole Bishop, actually.
I guess I'm at a point, and maybe it could potentially be bad on me. I want to see those guys fail and then succeed first before I'm in within nine games going to decide, never mind, screw this, we're changing, you know, trajectory. I think, honestly, the Bills' offense, namely their passing attack, showed, no, you needed to do that. You needed to make a change there. I don't know if the safeties have done that yet. I am more concerned about adding a bigger body at defensive tackle. And again, ultimately, don't even think the Bills will make a move. But if it were to be a move, would I hate a safety addition? Probably not.
Yeah.
Would I prefer a defensive tackle or an edge setting or a run-stopping edge player? I far prefer that. And that would make me, I'd say, a little bit happier. I said it after the game on Sunday. Go add a run stuffer and let's ride.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's where I'm at.
That's fair. I look at, you know, the issues the Bills have had in the secondary, it's not Christian Benford, it's not Taron Johnson, it's not Rasul Douglas, it's not even their backups. It's their safeties. And you know, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp have come up in big moments. I mean, Hamlin had a fumble. Did he force the fumble or did he have the fumble recovery?
Fumble recovery, I believe.
No, he picked up the one that was ruled not.
That's right. That's
was
right,
ruled
yes.
down. But I think he was part of the guys that forced the fumble that Kyer Elam did recover earlier mm-hmm. in the game. But still, I mean, so he has had his moments, and Taylor Rapp has been a big, hard-hitting safety at times. But I just think that that's one of the areas where if you add another key piece to that, even though your defensive line has been shaky, I think they can return to form a lot quicker than these safeties might be able to show you more.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the number to call. What do you want to see the Bills do on this NFL trade deadline day? Also, college basketball got underway yesterday, and locally, a very good night for college hoops. We'll talk a little bit about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.